This morning's New Testament lesson comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 21 through 30. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here also in your own country.' But in truth, I tell you, there were many, many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when there came a great famine over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. And they rose up and put him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down headlong. But passing through the midst of them, he went away." This is the word of our Lord. Both of these scripture readings this morning, the Old Testament lesson that Pastor Dana read to you from Jeremiah and this one that I just read to you, man, they're so dense with meaning and so vast and rich in applications for our lives. The more I started working on it, the more incredibly complex this lesson got today, and just so interconnected with each other. And so much so that it was getting kind of long. And last evening while I was finishing up the sermon, I was tempted to pray that God would temporarily turn us into Baptists so I could preach for an hour today. But since we're all still Presbyterians, it's clear I did not do that. So this morning we're going to be looking at Jeremiah. So I hope you were paying attention. Certainly this lesson could fit into that as well. But again, I want to keep it under an hour. So, two reasons why we want to look at Jeremiah this morning. The first reason is that book is relatable to us right now. John MacArthur calls Jeremiah a man for our times. We once believed in one nation under God. We put God on our money, in God we trust. Stores closed on the Sabbath, on Sunday. People prayed before meetings. They said the Pledge of Allegiance in schools. Churches were full. And in general, as Americans, we were aware that the world was supernatural in origin, meaning not from nature, from God. Now, every year, there is a concerted effort to get God off our coins, to get the Pledge of Allegiance out of our schools. Churches are closing their doors. In fact, we have one in our own presbytery, sadly, that's closing by the end of the year in Crittenden. And the world today is governed by naturalists, people who think that things just happened for no reason. Modern scholars, philosophers, professors, public figures continue to deny God. God doesn't exist. Jeremiah comes onto the scene during a time when Israel, too, had turned away from God. He is told by God, he's a prophet, one of the great prophets, somebody who is given a message by God and told to speak that message to the people. And he is told to give Jerusalem a message. And this message, I want to read this to you. You can actually find it in Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 20 through 31. I'm going to read the NIV because I think it's easier to listen to. But as you listen to this and realize that this happened approximately, 600 years B.C., man, it certainly fits our own culture today. This is what God tells Jeremiah to say to the Israelites. "Hear this, you foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. Should you not fear me, declares the Lord? Should you not tremble in my presence? I made the sand a boundary for the sea, an everlasting barrier it cannot cross. The waves may roll, but they cannot prevail. They may roar, but they cannot cross it. But these people have stubborn and rebellious hearts. They have turned aside and gone away." And that little comparison about the sea not crossing the shoreline, he's saying even the sea knows its place in the order of things, but you people keep exceeding your boundaries. And I think we actually prayed something similar to that in our prayer of confession today, that we want to go our own way. Continuing on in Jeremiah, they do not say to themselves, let us fear the Lord our God, who gives autumn and spring rains in season, who assures us of the regular weeks of the harvest. Your wrongdoings have kept these away. Your sins have deprived you of good. Among my people are the wicked who lie in wait like men who snare birds and like those who set traps to catch people. Like cages full of birds, their houses are full of deceit. They have become rich and powerful and have grown fat and sleek. Their evil deeds have no limit. They do not seek justice. They do not promote the case of the fatherless. They do not defend the just cause of the poor. Sound familiar? It should. Should I not punish them for this, declares the Lord? Should I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? A horrible and shocking thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy lies, false teachers. The priests rule by their own authority, and my people love it this way. And here's the last line. But what will you do in the end? Jeremiah takes that message and he preaches for over 40 years to Jerusalem. But just like today, nobody wants to hear the message. In fact, they end up throwing him in prison. Jeremiah was actually written in prison. In fact, what I just read to you was the second time it had been written. His scrolls had all been taken and burned, and God said, write it again. So he wrote it again. Their answer to what will you do in the end was to just do nothing and continue on in their sinful ways. And as a result, Jerusalem endures a holocaust as the invading Babylonian and Chaldean armies arrive, destroy the area, destroy the temple, enslave thousands of people. That sets up our problem. And the second reason I want to look at Jeremiah this morning is because it speaks to the solution for this, in that it answers the oldest question in the universe. I don't care if you're atheist, if you're Christian, if you're Jewish, if you're from Turkey, Greece, Spain, Italy, America. I don't care if you're a member of the Republican Party, Democrat Party, Tea Party, Green Tea Party, Sanka Party. I don't even know what they all are now. If you've drawn breath on this earth, you have asked this question. And the question is this: why am I here? Why do I exist? What is the meaning of life? All of those just to ask this: do I have a purpose? The infamous New York preacher, he was a reformed preacher in New York City, Norman Vincent Peale. Some of you may be familiar with him. He wrote this little story I'd like to share with you. Once walking through the twisted little streets of Kowloon in Hong Kong, I came upon a tattoo studio. In the window were displayed samples of the tattoos available. On the chest or on the arms, you could have tattooed an anchor or a flag or a mermaid or whatever. But what struck me with force were three words that could be tattooed on one's flesh: born to lose. I entered the shop in astonishment, and pointing to those words, I asked the Chinese tattoo artist, does anyone really have that terrible phrase, born to lose, tattooed on his body? He replied, yes, sometimes. But, I said, I just can't believe that anyone in his right mind would do that. The Chinese man simply tapped his forehead and said in broken English, before tattoo on body, tattoo on mind. The world wants you to think you're nobody unless you're somebody, unless you have fortune or fame, hot babe, hot guy on your arm, latest car or iPhone, iPod. You're nothing unless you're something, and that's that tattoo on your mind. Here's what God said to Jeremiah, and he says it to all of us today through his living word. I have consecrated you. Consecrated. If you don't know what that is, you need to write it down. It's one of the most beautiful words in the English language. It means dedicated to a special purpose. You have been dedicated to a special purpose. The world wants you to think you're not all that special. If you vote one way and not the other, you're garbage. I see it on my Facebook wall. Whether you think our borders should be opened or closed, the other side thinks you're garbage. Gun control, foreign policy, on and on and on it goes. And there are so many people that we are trying to please, who we want to get to like us, and who are willing to treat us like dirt when we disagree with them. And in the meantime, Jesus Christ sings over you. Did you know that? Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Beautiful verse in the Bible. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with his singing. The world wants you to think you don't even exist for the 9 months before you're born. God says to Jeremiah and to us, before you were born, I knew you. Merriam-Webster defines know. Don't tune me out. This is really important. The word know, K-N-O-W, have developed a relationship with someone through meeting and spending time with them, to be familiar with, to be friendly with. God says, before you were born, I knew you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, he chose us in Christ before the foundations of the world. Before you were born, before the earth, God knew you. Jeremiah's time was no different than Moses' time, was no different than our time. The world has always been filled with people who refuse to hear the truth, who turn away from God and from the messengers of God. And those worlds had an effect on those people that God called, and they continue to have an effect on the people God calls today. Here's Jeremiah. He says, I'm only a youth, Pastor Dana read to you. God says, don't call yourself a youth. Don't say you're a boy. I'm with you. Jeremiah says, I don't know how to speak. God says, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Moses in Exodus 4, when he's called to that burning bush, says, look, no one's going to listen to me. God says, throw your staff in the ground. It'll turn into a snake. They're going to go, whoa, and they'll listen to you. Moses says, well, okay, but they're not going to believe me. God says, okay, put your hand in your sleeve, pull it out, it'll be white and scaly with leprosy. They're going to go, whoa, and they're going to believe you. And then Moses, I love Moses, he's like me, just full of excuses of why he can't do things. He says, I'm slow of speech and tongue. I love that phrase. I don't know why I'm weird. I always think of Sylvester Stallone when I hear slow of speech and tongue. I want to see him play Moses, just go, yo, I don't speak good. But God says, who created your mouth? I will be your mouth, and I will teach you what you shall speak. Today, God's people have the same fears. We don't trust that we really can have a purpose, that there really is meaning to this life, because the world, largely through social media, here it comes again, I'm sorry, Facebook and Twitter, keep telling us that everything is random, that there is no God. But you can tell your Facebook contacts who come at you going, why am I here? You can tell them now. Because before you were born, God consecrated you and knew you. And that includes atheists, by the way. Just because you don't believe in God doesn't mean God doesn't believe in you. He's with you. And when you decide to believe in him, he's right there. Just call him. You can tell them these things because like Moses and like Jeremiah and like every other prophet, God has your back. He'll put words in your mouth. He'll be your strength. He has designed you with a purpose. He'll give you the means to carry that purpose out. And here's, as we wind this up, where it gets a little sticky, because it always gets a little sticky. We tend to think that the purpose of God is to be there for us. God, I really want that new car. Actually, it's the other way around. Pastor Dana, a couple of weeks ago, I think, spoke about gifts that we're all given. And those can and should be used for God's purpose. And I wish we had time to talk about how to discern that. But I want you to know that in addition to those gifts that you have for your own special purpose, every single human who has ever been placed on the planet, atheist, Christian alike, has been designed with a purpose. And that's to glorify God and to enjoy his presence. And we see that over and over and over again in Scripture, that that's our purpose, to glorify God and enjoy his presence. And we glorify him in part by living a Christian life as taught by Christ. We glorify him by sharing the gospel, The gospel being that God has provided the way for man to be freed from the penalty of sin through the shedding of the blood of his precious Son. And all we have to do is believe. Now, there are times when I'm sitting where you are right now, when I'm in church and I'm listening to the sermon, and I know pretty quickly that the message isn't for me. And that's okay, because I know that it's meant for somebody else and it'll get there, and that's the point. This message is not like this. This message is for all of us. Whether you're 8, whether you're 88 years old, God has a purpose for your life. And if you think, if you're one of our older congregants, if you think that your time has passed, or you think that you've missed your calling, or that you've already fulfilled it, first of all, if you'd already fulfilled it, I don't think I'd be looking at you right now. I think God'd be calling you home. There's one of you I'm hoping is just sleeping. So, but you're all breathing, so I think you haven't fulfilled it yet. But I would remind you that the man who led God's chosen people out of Egypt was 80 years old when he was called. 80. And he was 120 years old when God called him up on Mount Nebo, made him climb a mountain, and told him he could rest. 120 years old. So all you young 60 and 70-year-old whippersnappers who think that God's done with you, think again. He's got a purpose for your life. He's consecrated you. As we draw to a close, I just want to encourage you to think about our current world and think about the question that God posed, but what will you do in the end? I hope that in response, you will draw closer to your Creator in Scripture and prayer. I hope that when you happen to be on social media that propagates negativity and tells us that we're worthless, that you at least recognize that you're not, and that you serve the purpose for which we were all made, to glorify God, to enjoy Him, to share the gospel. And above all, remember that we have a living Savior who continues to rejoice and sing over you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.